This. Put a microphone on the crew chief.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Make the umpires explain that they're reviewing something.
The Rich Eisen Show.
When a host always talks about something over and over and over again, saying this should happen, this needs to happen, and then it does. Major League umpires will conduct in-park announcements during the replay review process.
Earlier on the show, Basketball Hall of Famer Bill Walton, NFL Films Senior Producer Greg Cosell. Coming up, Basketball Hall of Famer Julius Erving. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Lots of conversation, or at least talk, about the NCAA tournament weekend with Bill Walton in hour number one. If you missed it, it was an instant classic. I'll just read out, I guess, was this you or TJ who tweeted this out in the middle of the conversation?
TJ. We both were tweeting about it.
In the middle of the conversation, he had already mentioned so far the history of the Carolina and Kansas, the War of 1812, Jamba Juice, Dinner in the French Quarter, Chocolate Peanut Butter Love is his favorite flavor of Jamba Juice. Mookie Blaylock, he mentioned. Also mentioned Bob Pettit, who he's having lunch with right now. So, if you missed any of it, you got to check it out. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Dr. J, Julius Erving, will be on the program in hour number three. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial throughout the show. I want to hear from Duke fans. What retort will you have? You need to practice this, because at some point, Duke and Carolina will play again, and they're going to play again and can play again, and ESPN will be all over it, you know, because it'll be a big game, no doubt about it. It could be one versus two. It's any point, right? Okay. It could be. And it could be for the regular season ACC title. It could wind up being in the ACC championship game. It'll be big. And at some point, you know, you could say, hey, we beat you, North Carolina, and then they can come back over the top, you know, off the top rope, to use the WrestleMania phrase. And then what's your answer? What do you got back? I just need to hear that. 844-204-RICH, number dial. You can practice on me. I'll be more than happy to help you. It's a public service. Overreaction Monday coming up on this program. And somebody's lurking amongst the dogwood and azaleas. And we'll talk about all that on this program. But at 3 weeks from Thursday, there will be a placing of the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the first ever Las Vegas Centric Draft, Las Vegas hosted draft, the NFL draft. I'll be there for NFL Network, and one of the best in the business looking at tape, looking at film, and evaluating from NFL Film Senior Producer Greg Cosell here back on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Greg?
Rich, how are you?
I am great. I can't wait. I'm very excited. Look, and I know that people are like, well, quarterbacks aren't atop the draft, so on and so forth, but there are some big-time players. Who's the best player in the draft that you see? You think? What do you got for me?
I'm not good at that stuff, Ridge. I think you could make a case for in this particular draft. I think Ahmad Gardner probably fits into that conversation, or I guess we should say Sauce Gardner.
Yes, sir.
Sauce.
I particularly like Evan Neal as the best left tackle prospect. Maybe he fits into that category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Aiden Hutchinson will be a really good player. I don't know if he's a special player. That's a hard question. Okay. I don't do a board, so I don't think of it in those terms.
No, understood. I get you. I guess safest and things of that nature are the words that are used, but it's all an evaluation when it's said and done. What is your evaluation of Kayvon Thibodeau? Greg Cosell.
I think Thibodeau's a good prospect. I don't think he's special. The thing that would concern might be too strong a word, but when I think of pass rushers, normally I think that one trait I would like to see really outstanding pass rushers have is the ability to, as we say, clear the arc and then flatten and close to the quarterback. He's a little tight-hipped, and he struggles at times to kind of flatten once the attacks the outside edge of offensive tackles. So he, in many ways, Rich, he reminded me of a 20 pounds lighter Jadeveon Clowney. And obviously Clowney came out as the consensus number one pick, and Clowney will now be likely with his fifth team by the age of 28. And the reason that's the case is because he's not a premium edge pass rusher, because premium edge pass rushers are not with their fifth team by the time they're the age of 28, because it's such an important position in the NFL. So Thibodeau reminded me a little bit of Clowney with his traits and his skill set, and just that ability to bend and be flexible when you attack the high side of offensive tackles. He just did not flatten the way you'd like someone to when you think of the Von Millers of the world, those guys who are truly special edge rushers.
So when you look at the Jaguars and all the moves that they've made in free agency, and all the moves that they've made since the beginning of the non-playing season, as we call it in the NFL, you can basically say they're going to go with an edge rusher. They're going to go with a pass rusher first overall. And there's Trayvon Walker in the mix as well. Who would you counsel, based on your evaluation, Jacksonville to choose at that spot? What do you think?
Wow. I mean, you know, my opinion on that, based on film study, and that's all I do, so I don't get to meet these players. I'm sure Aiden Hutchinson is a terrific kid, and I think he'll be a good pro. The player, and I doubt he will be the number one pick in the draft, but the player who I think of this particular group of pass rushers that in 2, 3, 4 years we could be talking about as the best of the group is Jermaine Johnson from Florida State. Now, I doubt he'll be the number one pick in the draft, but I think that his combination of traits and his skill set are such that I could easily see him being the best pass rusher of the group when as time goes by. Now, Hutchinson is a very complete player. I think he's a really good prospect. He's not a bendy, flexible player. He uses his hands really well. He's got short area explosiveness. He obviously plays with tremendous competitiveness all the time. I think Jermaine Johnson, as we go further down the road, will be arguably the best pass rusher of this group.
Well, up the turnpike from where you work, sir, I mean, I know you don't traffic in the world of mock drafts, but so many mock drafts have Jermaine Johnson winding up with the Giants, and Giants fans are freaking out right now over that possibility.
They're freaking out in a good way or a bad way?
Well, I hope it's a good way, because the kid lit it up at the combine, and I've heard nothing but great things about him. What do you see on film that makes you say what you just said, Greg?
Well, first of all, I love the way he's built. He's kind of long, he's lean, he's sinewy, he really looks athletic, and he plays that way. I think that he plays with power that sometimes belies his wiry frame, but there's a power element to his game, both as a run defender and pass rusher. He's naturally quick. There's just a quickness to his movement. I thought he used his hands effectively. I wouldn't say he's a natural bender off the edge in a strict sense, but he can bend. And I think that he's only scratching the surface of his ability to rush the quarterback. So I think that he's a guy you can line up on the edge. I think you can move him around your front, use him in what we call a joker, where he stands up and moves around, and you look for matchups with him. And he's got excellent closing burst and speed. So I really liked his tape a lot. He had some really dominant snaps in the run game versus North Carolina State left tackle Ike Ekwonu, which is pretty surprising, given Ekwonu is just a man amongst boys when it comes to the run game.
Greg Cosell here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's used the word matchup a few times, and why not? He's the EPN analyst on NFL Matchup with Matt Bowen and Sal Powell, senior producer of NFL Films for 42 years and counting, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your evaluation of the quarterback class is what, Greg Cosell?
I would probably put Kenny Pickett at the top of that list. I think that he's just a very efficient ball distributor. I think that he has better mobility than people give him credit for. You know, to me, it's, if you reduce the quarterback position, and there's so many variables, Rich, as you know, and we could have this conversation for 3 hours, but ultimately it's to make the right kind of throw to the right receiver at the right time. And I think that Kenny Pickett does that extremely well. I think he's well-schooled in the kinds of pass game concepts that he needs to know to be an NFL quarterback, because Mark Whipple was his offensive coordinator, and Mark Whipple has NFL experience. So you can see on tape that he's familiar with those concepts and combinations. So to me, he's the best. I hear a lot about he doesn't have a special trait. I understand what people mean by that, but no one is suggesting he's Josh Allen. You know, the point is can he be an efficient quarterback who can execute your offense snap after snap after snap and make the occasional improvisational play with his legs? He can be that guy, and I think he's prepared to play essentially right now.
What about the rest of the group? Walk me through who else you think.
I think it'll be in the eye of the beholder. You know, it's funny. If you talk to coaches and ask them to give you a list of quarterback traits that they view as important, what in some ways would be non-negotiables, obviously the main trait would be ball location and ball placement, because you theoretically could do everything right as a quarterback, Rich, but if you can't throw the ball where you want to, then you essentially have nothing. And I think quarterback traits start with so many things that people don't talk about. It starts with fundamentals, mechanics, repetitive mechanics. You think of someone like Tom Brady, who did not make plays outside the structure of the offense, but his repetitive mechanics, every single snap, it was exactly the same. You know, and the reason I mention that is because, to me, throwing the ball hard and running fast are not quarterback traits that are necessarily at the top of anybody's list. So I know that people talk about Malik Willis that way. His tape in 2021 was not very good, and he ran an offense, which of course is not his fault. He's just the quarterback running the offense he's given, but he ran an offense that was very remedial and simplistic relative to what he's going to have to do in the NFL. So he can throw it hard, and he can run fast, and we'll see where his career goes and who drafts him. He's going to need to be in a really well-coached system that defines things for him really cleanly, certainly early in his career. The other quarterbacks in this draft, I think, all have issues that some can be coached, some can't be coached. I think Sam Howell has very good traits. He will freely admit he did not have a good year in 2021. He will freely admit that he tried to do too much, and therefore he left the pocket way too soon. He did not want to be in the pocket. He wanted to get out of the pocket. He didn't feel comfortable being there. So now we'll see if that translates or if he calms down and can run an offense, because he's a good thrower of the football. He's got a good deep arm. He is mobile. Matt Corral ran an offense again that it was an RPO quick game offense. He can snap the ball off well, particularly in the short to intermediate game. He's got that whip-like delivery, very compact, ball comes out. But that Lane Kiffin offense was quick game RPO and take some deep shots. So, and he ran a lot, and he's not going to be doing that in the NFL. Desmond Ridder, to me, is almost the most fascinating of these guys because he ran a lot of pro-style concepts. He has some issues as well. He's way too deliberate in his drop, and at times with his delivery, it can be a little elongated. He tends at times to drop his arm angle a little bit low, which causes ball placement issues, and he missed far too many layups. But I think in the right kind of offense where the run game is a featured foundation and there's play action, I think he can be very effective. And I think that he made some what we would call NFL throws within the context of the Cincinnati offense.
We got Greg Cosell, a few minutes left with the NFL Films senior producer here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of the keenest eyes evaluating that we can talk to. So last couple of years, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, remarkable rookie seasons at the receiver position. The kid, based on what you've seen of the All-22, that is more, you know, would have a shot to make it three in a row with significant rookie seasons would be which receiver?
Wow, that's a great question, because Chase was a no-brainer. Jefferson was not a no-brainer, by the way, and he's obviously been phenomenal, but he was not a no-brainer. I'm really intrigued with Garrett Wilson. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Stephon Diggs in the way in which he plays, and I think that's obviously a pretty good comparison.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of all the other receivers in this draft right now. I've seen the receivers, probably the position I've watched the most players. So there's so many guys.
Yeah, they really are. They lit up Lucas Oil. the combine. I mean,
well, you know, it's funny. Just to respond to that point, I think you're going to see now going forward, because of sports science and advanced technology and training, we're going to see just unbelievable performances. I mean, being there on the Saturday night watching the D-line and linebackers sitting in the dome, I mean, these guys, the athleticism is off the charts. And it's only going to continue to get better and better because of the nature of training. As far as receivers, Treylon Burks fascinates me because he's a big man who moves well. Regardless of his 40 time, he plays much faster. He's got really big hands. He catches everything. I think you can move him around quite a bit. I think there's a little bit of Deebo Samuel to him in the fact that you can line him up all over, including the backfield. Of course, some might see that more as a negative than a positive, because there's a Deebo Samuel, but there's also a Laviska Shenault, who some thought could be that guy and hasn't turned out to be that guy up to this point. But Burks really fascinates me.
Before I let you go, Greg Cosell, I'm going to ask you a sports talk radio question. I'm giving that. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. At least I walked through the front door here.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you four acquisitions from this. The March was insane, as you know, in the NFL. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to give you four acquisitions, and let's use your matchup brain, your scheme fit brain here, and you tell me which is going to be the most significant in terms of positive results this fall. Okay.
Okay.
I need the most, right? I mean, all four of them are going to be significant, but that's what the sports talk radio, you can only choose one. All right, which one is going to be the most significant this fall, wind up being the most significant? The acquisition of Russell Wilson for Nathaniel Hackett, okay? The acquisition of Davante Adams for Derek Carr, the acquisition of Tyreek Hill for Tua and Mike McDaniel, or the acquisition of Matt Ryan for Frank Reich? I'll give you those four again. Russell Wilson.
I got him. Which one you got for me?
Which one?
I'm going to go Tyreek Hill for this reason, because I think Mike McDaniel really understands what Tua is, as most people do. When you talk to coaches at the combine about Tua, they all understand his limitations and what he has to be in order to be effective. So now you have the RPO game and the quick game throws to two burners in Waddle and Hill, who can take short passes and go the distance, because that's what their pass game needs to be. And I think that the acquisition of Hill really will impact that significantly, because now you can have one guy on each side, and that makes, you know, Tua is an RPO quarterback, and he can throw the deep ball, but he's not a sit on his back foot and drive the ball in the middle of the field quarterback. So you need the quick game, you need the RPO game. And I think Hill, who ran an RPO game, was part of an RPO game in Kansas City, he can take those quick slants, those glance routes, and he can turn them into much more.
See, that was an answer to a sports talk radio question, and we're both surviving it. We both lived. That was great.
I gave you a football answer.
You did, which is great. So here's a bonus one then. I know that we don't know in the draft, because, you know, I'm assuming both of these teams are going to draft a rookie receiver in the first round. Which one is more of a significant departure that will affect the way that they operate? Hill now no longer being there for Mahomes, or Adams for Rodgers? Which one?
Adams for Rodgers. Huh. Because that was basically their pass game to a large, large extent. I was almost close to saying Adams to your first question, because I think Davante Adams is the best wide receiver in the game.
Right.
And so I was very close to that, but I just thought that with the speed and the way they need to sort of orchestrate their pass game, that Hill is really a big factor for Miami. But Adams, to me, has been over the last couple of years the most complete wide receiver. You could say Hill's clearly more dynamic and more explosive. That's without question. But I think Adams is the most complete wide receiver over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I know. Right? Green Bay's going to have to get a receiver.
They're going to have to draft a receiver somewhere along the line.
Well, first round, right? I mean, we can't.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Well,
you do have to line up with wideouts in this league.
I mean, Rodgers will need to get started with the kid. He might actually bring the card up in Vegas and then just take him and go somewhere and start
throwing.
Unless
they're going to go back to the Packer sweep with a seal here and a seal there.
That's right. That's well done. Well done, sir. Thank you so much, Greg Cosell. Say hi to everybody at Films for me. We'll chat again soon. Greatly
appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Okay. Greg Cosell, right there on the Rich Eisen Show. I love talking to him. Makes me smarter. At Greg Cosell on Twitter. I follow him. You should as well. What'd you take out of that? Anything?
Jermaine Johnson
is a kid who jumped out of the gym in Indianapolis. And we're all talking about Walker and Hutchinson and Thibodeau, and he lurks there, and the Giants are going to snap him up. I think they take him over Thibodeau if he's available, if that's the way they're going to go. At, what is that, six? I don't know the stuff off the
Giants
top.
Giants are five.
Giants are five. And they're
Panthers.
5-7.
Right. Panthers
right.
six.
I think what they're going to do is they're going to wind up. Here's the way the Giants. I think right now as we're sitting here 3 weeks from draft week, I think the Giants, here's what I think the Giants' dream scenario is. They have their choice of left tackle at five.
Yep.
And then they have their choice of Thibodeau or Jermaine Johnson at seven. That's it. Or they have their choice at left tackle at five and their choice of wide receiver at seven. I think they should go pass rusher at seven. That they've, you know, they've got some. But don't forget, they got Galladay. They got.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard. They still have all these guys. Yeah.
They got Tony, too, who, when he was healthy last year,
was awesome.
He looked like, you know, a total difference maker.
Still have Saquon. Great pass catcher.
Right. You just need to protect your quarterback and go hunt the other one. That's the way I'd go. Right, if I'm a if you're a Giant fan, right here, right now. And the crazy thing is that going into the combine and coming out of it, DJ Daniel Jeremiah was saying he was getting so much crap from Giants fans saying that they should take Trevon Walker in the first round, and Giants fans were going, "You don't, you're crazy, no way." He was like showing me some of the responses he was getting.
And now he's not going to be there. Yeah.
I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, it's like Magic Johnson. I'm not going to be there.
Also, Desmond Ridder, huh? I wonder if
that's
he,
two guys now.
I know.
Our last two evaluators. Bucky Brooks on Friday, Greg Cosell today. The guy who's off the radar screen as a first rounder that's going to be particularly successful, who's really intriguing to them, is Desmond Ridder. What Dak was the comparison, right? That Bucky made on Friday.
Yeah, I really liked when we talked with him too, a couple weeks ago.
I think we may have to have him personally here now.
I think Greg just had you when he said sauce. That was
well. We got to hit that. Here's what we're gonna do. Wow. We're gonna hit that when we come back.
We have
received a message from the. From Planet Sauce.
A word?
It has been received.
We've made contact.
I was kind of busy last night hanging out with your boy DK.
Oh, no. By the way, we got to talk about all that. We got to do all of that.
We got lots going on.
And we've got What's More Likely. And then we've got
Overreaction Monday, Rich.
We've got Overreaction Monday. And then we're getting signals. We're hailing a signal from Augusta, Georgia. I don't know how to handle it. We've got to talk it out how we're going to handle it. Because it's coming. I think it's coming. We've got to talk it out how we're going to handle it. And I have an idea. It's not very advanced or nuanced. Okay. But before we take a break.
That's the only way to handle it.
Before we take a break, our friends at Mercedes want to ask you the last time you seriously considered your dream. It's probably been a very long time. It's now time for you to get back in touch with your dream. And you should go and listen to Mercedes-Benz when they say, live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could tour around all 423 national park sites. You can go visit your family. You could go on some sort of a retreat. You can go on a vacation. You could build a mountain cabin with your dad or start your own business. It's really whatever you dream up. Because it's a Mercedes-Benz van that we're talking about. You can expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. Amazing performance and reliability is what you can expect with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It all runs like a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you. 844-204-RICH. We'll chat in a moment. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Okay, folks, let's take a phone call. Sideline Mike's been hanging on for over an hour. What's going on, Sideline Mike? What's your two cents on everything going on, sir?
Well, gentlemen, Richard, TJ, my son had me watching Roman Reigns with that killer arm bar. I thought he was going to rip his arm, and Brock Lesnar was going to rip his arm out of the socket. Anyway,
I thought his arm did pop out, Mike.
Man, I'll be 6 years old in July. The Braves won the World Series by George.
He's driving around Atlanta.
Your Indian coach K's career Monday night. I'm on my deck with 10 of my frat brothers. Outside. Oh, man. We got ribs. We got pork steaks. We got poster kielbasa. We got it all. And when Caleb Love raised up and hit that jumper, brother, I about jumped off the deck. You understand me? You understand me? Now, all I'm going to tell you is this. Huba Davis gave an explanation as to why he called a timeout with Caleb Love on the line. He was coaching JV. He had a kid that made one free throw, missed one free throw. The other team went down, hit a three and won the game. He said the reason why he called timeout, he wasn't ISIS guy, Rich. He had to get everybody organized, who to foul, when to foul, what to do if they make a three, what to do if they don't make a three. And he made up his mind. That day he lost that JV game. The next time he was in that situation, he was calling timeout. So that's the explanation.
I love it.
Baby, you talk about playing with house money? Let me tell you something, brother. We ended it in Cameron. We ended it in New Orleans. We got some magic in New Orleans. Let's go back to 1982, baby, with a guy by the name of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I'm just going to leave that right there. But, hey, man, we didn't come here to lose. Duke was just the next team on the schedule, baby, and I ain't trusting Bill Self far as I can see. And we will hoist the trophy. And no, nobody in Durham can say a darn thing to any Tar Heel moving forward because Chris Brockman said so, and I'm gone.
Sideline Mike.
Sideline Mike, respect.
Boom, 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 boom.
I think his phone cut out as he was explaining that the Braves won the World Series and the Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship in football. And
I just heard pork steaks on the grill.
And he's a Carolina fan on top of it. He's living his best life right
yes,
there.
Yes, he is.
Not missing too much right there.
Man.
I just want to live that life just for even a split second.
I have distant memories of that, and it was nice. It was a long time ago.
What was?
Just, you know, when your teams were good and winning titles.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a long time ago, but we're not like Brockman. We don't have that type of luck.
So, as you know, I've already handed in the Jets card in the draft.
we ran that hall down last week.
Okay, we did. And I just, last week, when I said I'm ready to hand in the Jets card at fourth overall, because the guy I want, I believe, will be there available at fourth overall, and it being Ahmad Sauce Gardner.
Sauce.
And I said, because he lives on Planet Sauce, and I want somebody who lives on his own planet, and that's going to be the new version of Revis Island is Planet Sauce. It's like, you're on his planet, you're on his, he covers all surface of Planet Sauce, and you're on his, you're in his orbit, okay? Like, that's the way I kind of view it. And I know You said I should be the one to intercept the card and make the announcement, like just stiff arm the commissioner of the NFL, and I said that that's just not even remotely possible from various reasons. One, just spatially, we're so far away, I can't do it from the NFL Network draft set to the draft hall. And secondly, you know, my career would be over, and I don't plan to have my career be over just yet. And I do believe I said that if I did do it, I would look at the ESPN set and tell Greeny to suck it. And I know, folks, you know, I kind of was going through that segment, and I forgot to add the most important part of that, because I don't want people to think that I dislike Mike Greenberg.
Oh,
He's a fellow Jet fan.
Oh, yeah.
That was my point.
Right.
I thought I implied it. But to look at another fellow Jet fan who's hosting the draft and say, suck it, I'm the one to do it. Like, that was where I was going, which is why I said Greeny would nod his head like the Robert Redford GIF. Right. Like, yes, he understands.
I understand.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you hit that one.
So I just want to, you know, I want to go through errors and omissions and set this all up by saying, you know, even though I've handed in the card, like it was on March 31st, I handed in the card. Or was it April 1st? It wasn't even an April Fool's joke. I mean it. And nothing's going to get me off of that. As a matter of fact, it's only going to be more and more solidified. Put it up there. This is man's tweet. I'm the best player in the draft, he tweeted out, apropos of nothing, out of nowhere, on the 3rd of April.
Last night.
Sunday night, just takes to Twitter. I'm the best player in the draft, at I am Sauce Gardner. I love his handle. I love his attitude. And if you are somebody who is building a team, you are building a culture. You are building a culture and a team as a defensive-minded coach. And you are understanding, as Joe Douglas does, build from the inside out. Build from the lines and the line play out after you've got the quarterback that you think that you have. And that's why it was kind of an outlier to try and go get Tyreek Hill. Like, you're going to suddenly spend $30 million a year on a wideout? Now you're like, well, Rich, you know, Sauce is on the outside. Yeah, he also cuts the field in half. Ask the Jacksonville Jaguars how they liked having Jalen Ramsey. Ask the Rams how they like having Jalen Ramsey. But ask the Jaguars, was it worth the 5th overall pick to have Jalen Ramsey? Uh-huh, yeah. Yep. 4th overall selection, I want Sauce Gardner, because if you're throwing Stephon Diggs at me, you're throwing Tyreek Hill at me, and now Brockman, it seems like the Patriots have kind of, I shouldn't use the phrase woken up, but I know that the Patriots fans will kind of be like, you know, when are we going to get ourselves a nice shiny toy for our young quarterback from Alabama in the same way that Miami just did?
Finally got a decent wide receiver.
Well, they went down and they got a wide receiver from Miami in Devontae Parker. And I'm sure Dolphins fans are sitting there going, you know what? I understand. I get it. I get it that we got Cedric Wilson in free agency and that we got Tyreek Hill. Of course we have the ability to send Parker out, but to go and send him in division, like, do we not know the history of Wes Welker? I mean, have we not doomed ourselves to repeat it? Like, because trust me, Patriots go get a receiver from Miami. Devontae, congratulations. You're going to the Pro Bowl, man.
Pro Bowl, maybe Super Bowl.
There you go,
not
man.
Sure. Yeah.
Congrats.
Just catch the ball this time.
What? That one was kind of wild. Like, okay, you're going to send him. Patriots took him, which apparently might mean the end of N'Keal Harry may finally get what he asked for last year, which was his New England exit visa.
Hit the bricks.
And you can't go N'Keal Harry and mention him without mentioning a man who T.J. Jefferson hung with at WrestleMania 38. D.K. Metcalf. Was he in the Yellowstone suite that you were in last night at care of Peacock and all of our friends at Peacock Television?
Yeah, first of all, the Peacock suite was amazing.
I bet
yesterday.
It was.
You walked in and right off the bat, you know, they were giving away cowboy boots, which was interesting. So DK came in, you know, they had a bunch of celebrities. Brockman, when I first walked in, the funny part was I've been to these suites hundreds of times with my friends, right? These type of affairs. Not in a suite, it's but okay. You know, like.
No. It's okay. TJ, we like it when you say it with your chest, okay. Too. Wow.
I don't mean suites.
You
I
know,
mean,
I know a lot of very famous people.
You know, okay, I may have misspoken.
You know when Ashton has those courtside seats?
When you go to like certain events and they have
hang with Michael Jordan in golf tournaments.
Of course.
Sorry. You were saying?
Oh, we are. Okay. No, I was going to stop talking while you were interrupting. But
So you were hanging with DK.
So what I'm saying is it was kind of unreal. I've been to a lot of gifting suites with friends, and I'm always like a plus one, right?
Yes.
Which
uh-huh.
is fine. But I opened up the door to the suite, and I kind of stand there, and there are people in there. The first person I see was Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South.
Oh, wow.
And I'm standing there, and I'm like, okay. And then I hear this woman go, that's TJ Jefferson. That was the first time in my life that's ever happened.
Yeah, so I was TJ just like, is the one.
So
not
I was
the plus
just like,
one.
Yes.
We took out the plus.
Yeah. So I was like, yes, it is TJ Jefferson. So go in there. They had the whole suite. It was set up like Western style. And, it was awesome. So DK came in. You know,
How was he?
The thing is, I didn't really talk to him too much in the suite because it was like people were just coming and trying in their boots and then they left. So I spoke with him in the hallway. I introduced myself, told him with the Rich Eisen show. A few weeks ago, we put up a Twitter poll about everyone's socks on the show. And he had retweeted it and commented like, do I have to choose one of these? So I brought that up to him and he remembered it and laughed. And I told him I worked on with you on the show.
Well,
and he's like,
great.
Rich is my man.
But
and
let's cut to the chase. Did he say anything about maybe not being a Seattle Seahawk in any way, shape, or form? Because the word from the ESPN street today is he could be had for the right price, which, by the way,
that's kind of
so
weird.
Can we all.
Yep. So can we all.
But
he did not. But I tell you what, DK Metcalf, when Daniel Jeremiah said he was a human bat suit, there is no greater definition of a human being. Like, I'm a big person. I'm 6'3", I'm about 260. This guy made me seem like a child, Rich. Like, he is so swole.
Did he? Because, you know, word is that he eats bags of candy every day. Did you see that?
He works out. He eats
and
bags
he
of
eats
candy.
Bags of candy. Did he hit the AT&T Stadium dessert
I
cart
did not
that,
see...
that strolled by the Yellowstone Peacock Suite?
I don't know if they have one of those there at
Jerry
Jerry's
Jones,
World.
Get on that, man.
You know? Come on.
All right, so there was nothing out of – we can't glean anything about DK Metcalf's future.
No. I told Brockman something this morning. I said he was standing in front of a picture of Michael Irvin on the wall, and I asked him, where are you going to be? And he tapped the picture and walked away. But that didn't happen. But, I was just telling that to Chris.
So I would say
– I believe it.
Nobody tells DK Metcalf he could be the next anything but DK Metcalf, as Jim Schwartz once upon a time famously learned before a game. That DK then went off on the Philadelphia Eagles that night. As Jim Schwartz said, hey, man, I think you could be the next Megatron. You remind me of Megatron. He's like, do you remember that? You told him, don't talk to me. Essentially. All right, so we're cool. Rich Eisen show and DK Metcalf.
Hey,
he said,
quote unquote, Rich is my man.
There we go.
So,
and I feel like DK is mine. Certainly if now the Jets want to make a maneuver there. Dude, here we go. This is it, man.
You have to give up one of those number ones.
Give them. You want to give them their pick back?
Number 10.
Want to give them back? I wouldn't for Tyreek, but for DK, he's younger, more physical. Cold weather. Here we go. I know Tyreek didn't play in the middle of the center of the earth. 10 overall is tough.
I don't think I would do that.
I'm just going. I'm feeling it. I want sauce. Bring me sauce, essentially.
Bring me sauce.
When we come back, we got to take a break here, if you don't mind. And I want to hear more about WrestleMania now, number 3. But when we come back, Chris, TJ.
Richard Seth.
We're going to need to get ready for what appears to be happening. Once the national championship game ends and we turn the page to the next major sporting event, what appears to be on the horizon and lurking and happening, we need to prepare ourselves to not act like complete and total children.
Is it going to happen, though?
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Don't go anywhere. Also, Overreaction Monday coming up.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Most viewed thing I've ever done in anything, anywhere. Period.
Has anyone come up to you on the street and mentioned that they saw you?
No. No. It's kind of not yet, but over a billion people have seen it.
Hold
I
on,
think.
I'm getting an updated tally.
Right. I think the
We're
video
close.
On YouTube.
660 million.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Close enough to a billion
there
for
you
me.
Go.
Yep.
Okay. We had Scott Van Pelt on last week, and we were talking about how he was talking about how ESPN was all over the coverage of Coach K, and if Coach K makes the final game and wins it all, that the tonnage of coverage would just be a lot. Gave everyone that sort of heads up, even though I don't think we needed it, but he stated what needed to be stated, that there is a lot for fans to take in when it comes to Coach K if he goes the whole way. And I said, well, that would be child's play if Tiger actually comes back and plays in the Masters next week. Is it possible? And he talked about how it was absolutely possible. It's not nothing, I think, is what he said at the time. And then a day later or 2 days later, you said Tiger went to Augusta National and played with his son and Justin Thomas, correct?
Correct.
And it's like, okay, he's just kicking the tires, and apparently he did very well or came through it physically well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this man nearly died in a car accident 2 Februarys ago.
14 months ago?
Correct. Tib fib fracture, his
All
foot was crushed. Like
almost amputated.
Like we thought on the spot we'll never see him play golf again. I think we even said that.
Mm-hmm.
But we also said it's Tiger Woods, you never know. But we deep down understood we'll probably never see him again. Well, I'm reading from Masters.com, and I don't believe this would be an article that would be written if Tiger didn't want it to be written, to be very honest with you. You know, I don't look at Masters.com and think that this is, you know, some sort of journalistically independent organization, you know? But be that as it may, I don't mean to... I shouldn't say those things because I don't know the guy who wrote it, a fellow named Jim McCabe. This is an article on Masters.com.
I think he's a longtime AP.
Correct. And so I shouldn't say exactly. So I shouldn't I shouldn't say this. That but I would truly believe like if Tiger didn't want something out there, it wouldn't be out there. Okay. But the headline is Woods looks serious in Sunday practice round. And, oh my God, he looks great. I even said to you, Chris, is this yesterday? Because
mm-hmm.
he looks totally in shape.
He looks swole.
He looks like Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the video that accompanied this story on the Masters Twitter account,
yep.
He's moving around like... nothing happened. He looks incredible.
I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking about
it. And the article talks about how, you know, he got out there on the back nine and his longtime caddy was there with him and he chit-chatted with a bunch of players. And, you know, he missed the green at numbers 10 and 11, played 12 nicely, reached 13 and 2. Fourteenth green is where he spent most of his time putting, then chipping and pitching. But, you know, he was out there. He is first shot wide left and bunkered at the par 3-16th. Only time in 9 holes he hit his second tee shot, and he stuffed it to about a foot and a half, which produced the biggest smile of his practice session, though truthfully the entire 2+ hours appeared to be thoroughly enjoyable for him. if he wasn't looking or didn't feel confident about it, he would not say, you know what I'm saying?
Rich, I don't want to alarm you, but ESPN right now has live footage of Tiger working on chipping.
And he looks amazing.
He looks amazing. So Daniel Rappaport covers golf for PGA Tour Insider Golf Digest. He was reporting this morning that Tiger is going to play some holes again this afternoon. Ian O'Connor, our friend from The Post, said that Tiger's caddy, Joe LaCava, was out walking the course with Bones McKay, who now caddies for Justin Thomas. LaCava said he expects Tiger to play some this afternoon and, quote, likes the way his guy looks.
Tiger tweeted out over the weekend that he's going to have a game time decision. Now, you're saying that's up until whatever tee time his name's involved with right now.
I think it's whatever Thursday's. I don't think the tee times are out yet, but whatever his Thursday go time is. Tiger's scheduled to meet with the media tomorrow at 11 Eastern. We'll find out more then, maybe.
Let me tell you something. We need to talk this out because I think it's going to happen, and I'm a 52-year-old man who's been covering a lot of stuff. I've been covering this guy ever since I stepped on the set of SportsCenter in 1996. But if he does this and he plays, there's no other way to put it other than, oh my God. Like, oh.
It's almost more impressive.
Tiger Woods. Like, it's, this is, I think this is going to happen.
I think so too.
Which is nothing short of remarkable. Why? I mean, again, he's meeting with the media tomorrow, and Masters.com, here it is. Look, this is the story right here. I mean, it's a whole to-do. And Woods looked serious in Sunday practice round. This is all out there. And if he didn't want it out there as a tease or what, like, this is serious business. And it's not like he's limping around or he could only do one hole. Like, he went out last week. Now he's out today. He went out yesterday. He's going to go out again. How the hell is he pulling this off? Just this alone is amazing.
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't really grasp my mind around it. I can't really contain my excitement. Like, I'm just trying to stay level-headed. I'm trying to keep expectations at zero. What am I going to come out here and say he's going to win again? I mean, that's like, that's insane.
All right, be careful. I don't want to slap anybody.
Come on, man.
Is that a threat?
Come on.
There are no tee times up yet. Tee times have not been announced.
Because I will slap somebody if this doesn't happen.
I'm looking at
you. If this
you.
Doesn't happen now, because I think I'm there.
I mean, I'm going to be so useless on Thursday and Friday. Heads up.
As opposed to what other Thursday?
I'm going to make sure you got baby powder in case you need to slap somebody.
I mean,
you know,
come on.
Just put it right in the palm of your hand.
I think it is happening. I think it's happening.
It's all happening.
You going to pick him in the pool?
No. Man, but I...
You're going to want to.
I mean, last time he won, I had my daughter, who was 6 at the time. Right? Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
Three years ago.
So she was 5, sitting on the bed, and I had her just smile and take a picture in that portrait mode, and you could see she's in perfect focus, and on the background, it's Tiger with his arms up. Because I just wanted to show her one day, you know, when Tiger won his last, that this is what she looked like. And there were certain players and athletes where you want to document your own experiences, your own life experiences. I can't imagine how this is happening. I can't even imagine that he's out there. And again, I just want to apologize. I shouldn't have said what I said about that Masters.com is not something that's journalistically independent or anything like that, or cast a pall on who wrote this article. Because I hate that when people say NFL Network is an arm of the NFL and that we can't say what we want to say, but I just don't know if Masters.com would be putting this at the very top of their news stack if there was no chance of this happening.
Yeah, so that guy Dan Rappaport a half hour ago said he walked by the driving range and overheard at least four different conversations between players about Tiger. They're as amazed by this as the rest of us.
Of course. Of course they are.
Who's he going to be paired with if he does play? Can you imagine that threesome?
Well, I don't know. Would they put him with Justin Thomas?
I think so, right?
Right. Would they?
I mean, if it's him, Justin Thomas, and Rory, it's like the greatest.
Let's go.
Man.
It's a group of all time.
14 months ago, we thought the guy might be dead in a
That's correct.
In a ditch.
May never walk again, might lose a leg.
Just a few miles.
All of it.
Right up the street, basically.
We were just stunned walking around here. Just stunned. And now he's coming back, it looks like. Guys, I think this is really happening.
Let's go.
I mean, and again, you know, I don't want to say jaded. I'm as skeptical as anybody else these days anymore.
Yeah.
And what to believe and what not to believe. But this has all the makings of him coming back. Hour 3, Dr. J coming up.